you know, I still resent that a little bit. Have something I say, you devils never supported me once. Yeah. And the only time they voted for it was to form it.
So their years, right? Up until now.
But
if it hadn't been for the local option sales tax, we'd have never had any new facilities.
Yeah, we would. Still be
that was a godsend. I hope they don't overdo it now. They need to slow down a little bit now, I think.
I think they pretty well got what
they
need.
I hope so. I don't know how long they're going to keep the Corey. I think he's got his time set to win a little leave.
Yeah.
I think one more year.
Yeah. But,
old Wiggy, I saw him the other day. He looked like he's comfortable.
Did you see Wiggy?
he was a good guy.
Oh, he was something else.
Oh, my.
Remember the day he came in? I just had Ernie Gores. Remember Ernie?
I remember Ernie.
He was my business manager. It wasn't too good. But he left, and I just... Here comes this guy, and he's just out of college, Loras College. He says, I'm good at business things. Gee, that kind of sounds pretty good. What a dedicated guy he was.
Because Ernie was, he was an assistant band director, and I mean, he had a sense of business, but nothing like Dave did.
Have I got the right guy, Ernie Gore?
Yeah, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
He went out, he became a college professor. Mm-hmm. Went out to West Virginia.
I went to a national meeting somewhere, Texas or someplace, and I run into a guy that was his boss. And he was telling me he knew of Ernie Gore. And I said, well, yeah, he's working. He was at a college out in Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia University.
Yeah.
Well, was it Monahan? Remember Monahan? We had him in class.
Yeah, I sure did.
I think he's the one that hired Ernie.
He's the guy that told all the people to stick their fingers in their navel thing.
Yeah, indies and outies, was it?
Yeah, indies and outies, yeah.
I had two of them for classes.
Yeah, he was good.
I went through that, too, but...
Well, would you want to elaborate on the board members or any of that? Let me talk about that original board. You might not want the recorder on for that. Huh?
What about back then, like in 1960 or so, and this was happening, and was there some kind of discussion or negotiation with the Catholic Church officials as far as what was happening? Or?
Well, this is something I haven't told many people. I suppose, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I don't really care. Back in, this was, I don't know, quite a while ago. But, I had a real good relationship with the Padres. Around, they work with me, and I'm pretty good. We had some that didn't. I remember the guy at Farley. I never forget that the guy at Farley. He would always say mass right when the buses were coming, and we'd have to sit out there and wait. And I went over and I asked him not to do it, and he did it again, and he did it again. So one night I said, "Take him home." So he wound up with 200 kids.
That take care of that.
Never happened again.
What priest was that on?
Yeah.
Way back, huh?
No.
Father Churchill?
No.
It wasn't O'Brien, was it?
No. Cascade guy. No.
Wouldn't have been a Nepper, would it? No.
No, it started with an N.
No, that's right.
Anyway. I am slipping on names. I just,
we all are.
But anyway, to get back to my story, I went down to a meeting one night, down. And I did it more than that time. We would go down to the rectory down there in Dyersville, and they'd have drinks and have this and that, and pretty open discussions on things. And I was always asked to stay around and so forth. And this night it was a little different. We met up in the priest's headquarters up there, up on the upstairs, and it was a serious thing. And they were meeting, and Father come out and he said, "Wayne, we're going to announce tomorrow that we're closing Beckman. We're done. We can't make it." He said, "I'll call you in the morning with more particulars." Man, I went home thinking.
What priest was that?
I want another high school.
Oh.
And they were real serious, their long faces doing this and that. But they had voted to do it. I got back in the morning and I went to the office, and about 9 o'clock I got a call and said the bishop changed his mind.
Boy.
Said, but it come that close.
Wow. Well, Joel Ertl was involved in that too, wasn't he? With coming up with some money or to keep him going, or was that a different time?
Not at that time. I don't remember that.
Was this early 70s or?
Yeah, I would say maybe late 70s.
Okay.
Somewhere's in there.
I think at one time they announced it, they were going to close it. But I kind of thought Joe Ertl had something to do with the fundraising to keep it going, but that would have been before he was on our board, I guess. I can't remember exactly, but...
Yeah. Well, that would have really raised us some real questions.
Wow.
Still, yet. Yeah. Would you want three high schools if it ever happened? I don't think it'll happen anymore.
Yeah.
That would have been hard to fund that, three high schools. It's hard to fund two, right, in our size district. But although I think it was a good move to open Cascade, don't you?
Well, as far as Beckman, they'll never run out of money.
No, you're right.
But they might run out of kit. I mean, yeah, for a lot of reasons. The families are smaller, farms are bigger. That could hurt them. They're down to what, about?
About 100 kids a grade. Somewhere in there.
That would be 600 kids. They only got 400.
No, I'm saying 400. About 100.
But
kids.
That's for 6th grades.
Oh, okay. No, that'd be 600 for the junior high and the high school.
You think?
I'm guessing right about there, yeah. You know,
okay, maybe.
Cracks Wallard's
down pretty bad, yeah.
They're way down.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, they'll never run out of money. They,
no.
They're dedicated people. But the relationship has just changed. I don't know what it's like now, but I think, speaking of board members, I won't criticize some, but a guy that is really high on my, well, of course, the original guys, but John Hackey. Mm-hmm. There was a guy that was absolutely the nicest guy I ever worked for. He was a Lutheran. He was on this board. When we had relations of questions to work it out, he'd go with me right up to the, and to the priest, you know, and talk and go to places in Dubuque. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Just absolutely the best there was. If somebody had raised hell and wanted something done, he'd say, "I'll call Wayne and we'll figure it out and we'll get back to you." What a nice way to do it. And by the time I got back to him, generally had the steam blowing off. But he was a great guy. Bud Ross was a great... Bud Ross was an organizer at the beginning. And that's where he fitted. Laverne was... He was an arm that I leaned on a lot in the early days. Many hours I'd get... I'd get down to the point where I don't know how the heck to do this anymore. I'm out of money, you're doing this. I'd run out and have sit at his dining room table, and we'd think things through.
He was a thinker kind of a guy, I remember, huh?
Yeah,
he was very analytical.
Conservative.
Oh, yeah, he was conservative.
But he's a good guy.
Yeah, he supported us all the way.
Joe Ertl was on the board 15 years. And he did things that drove you crazy. But he also did a lot of good things. I can remember, I can line up a whole bunch of things. When it come to buying, we had some of the best shop equipment we ever had in our life. He understood that. He knew that. I can remember one time when we had a trip somewheres, and there was a bunch of them didn't have the money. Joe supported them all. You know, in a way, he did a lot of good things. I can remember, you know, he was high into the Republican Party, and on several occasions with things like with buses, he'd go down there and help me. He could do things. He talked to those guys, and it helped. So, you know,
yeah.
He wasn't the guy. There were a couple that were mean guys, but you expect that, you know.
In those early days, some of them didn't have kids in our school. That was kind of tough, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
That probably had a lot to do with the bond issues.
None of them did, except me.
Ray Sherman, some of his kids went to high school, I think.
Yeah.
But that was probably about it of that first group, yeah.
I remember we were in Dyersville, just started back in the early 60s. And Doug had went to kindergarten in Dyersville, and I took him over and put him in first grade in Farley. And Monsignor Mayor, I'm up the house. He said, "Can't do that. Setting a bad precedent. You must get that boy out of there." I said, "Monsignor, you're not going to change my mind. I'm making my living there, and it's a damn good school, and I'm going to stay there, and you never bother me again." It kind of bothered me a lot of times with, like, the Overbreckling girl? Or no, what was some of them that had, they would make their living there, but they wouldn't send any of their kids there.
Right, yeah.
That's...
Surely.
Yeah. That was her business. I didn't say anything, but it...
Yeah, we had some of that.
I was often accused, not often maybe, but I have been accused of hiring too much locally, that I needed to go out and get new inbreds and so forth. But I don't know. I'd ask you, do you think it did? I did hire a lot of people if they had a kid that was good, and that was the way they supported the district and paid taxes and...
Well, I thought this has always been a pretty good cross section of,
I think so.
You know, within and people from without, and all that hiring for without hasn't worked too well in Dubuque, because I hired superintendents from Chicago who last about,
yeah.
I mean, come on. Wow.
It was interesting. When was that? You probably know about as good as I do, that when all the nuns were leaving.
Yeah. That was in the late 60s.
And the word got out, I hire one, and then she tell two more.
Yeah, like you said, I had a bunch of them. Well, you had your share, too. And at Farley, I remember I got grieved by Shirley, actually. Jane Wagner's my neighbor right across in the back now.
Oh,
but she was a nightmare. She got kicked out of the condo. I shouldn't probably put that on there, but that's true. How bad can you be? But we had her and Phyllis and Shirley. we had about four or five down that one wing, and I didn't, and Shirley was a great person, a good teacher, I had her before, but I didn't want all four of those like personalities right in that same hallway. And we won the grievance, I remember, but she wasn't too happy about that. I had a lot of that Taylor girl. I had her. Well, there's probably, yeah. There's a bunch
Lois,
of
Lois was it?
Well, she that was ex nun too.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking before that we had what was her name? That was at Epworth. It was a Taylor girl. It was her sister actually.
But I never had any problems with hiring.
No,
I never had a nun that failed me.
They were good teachers.
That one that was a mother general, remember that one?
Oh, yeah, he had the two visitations. Lois, was it Lois?
Yeah.
Well, Lois Tyson was a nun. Too.
Oh, yeah.
She was a Franciscan. But the two, the Briggs girl, and then Graham, Patricia, they were talented people.
Both of music people.
I had Graham. Patricia Graham, remember her, Catherine Graham, she put on the...
Oh my.
It was an extravaganza of extravaganzas, but boy, she'd pack them in there in that gym. And then the Briggs lady was something else too.
Lois Tyson, Lois. You'll never know the conversations we used to have. I like Lois. And she, my kids, Doug and Dan, they'll say she's the best teacher they ever had.
Yeah.
But she used to drive me nuts when she was president of that. She thought she was God Almighty. And we'd cuss each other out on the telephone. Well, you damn it, you listen to the reason, and on. We'd go in and she'd tell me off and I'd tell her off, and then we'd be best friends again. But how is she still alive, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Ever see her?
Not too much.
Well, I haven't seen her quite a while. But I'll tell you what, my kids and whatever kids she had, when they went to college, they knew how to write.
Feel bad.
Knew how to compose. And it happened time after time. You heard it back.
The computers were coming in, and she got that writing thing going.
Yeah.
And my kids said the same thing. Before that, I've heard some things. She sneaked out to have a cigarette. But no, she was good.
They had a meeting up here one night, or a bunch of probably 20 ex-West Dubuque kids. My boys were with them. And I just happened to listen. And they were saying, who are the best teachers you ever had? Mm-hmm. Well, Lois come out high, you know. 4K came out pretty low. And who was the one guy we had that was always drunk?
Oh,
shop guy?
Yeah, shop guy.
Shoemaker?
Shoemaker.
Yeah, he was. He had the green tongue.
I remember that guy. But there was one he taught. We had that seventh and eighth grade over at Beckman.
That's John Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Christ, I fired him right there on the spot.
Oh God.
Get your ass out and don't come back. I felt sorry for his wife. I didn't learn it right away. He'd be missing, and then she'd say, well, he's at a wake. He had to go to his brother's wake or sister's. Okay. So we pulled that about four times and said, well, she's called me. She said, I told her, I want to send some flowers. Where do I send it? and then I got a call one morning. I don't know who tipped me off. It was about 11 in the morning. He was teaching up the drunkard and the billy goat.
Jeez.
I got a substitute to come in, and I went right up and I took him out. Said, "You're done. Don't come back." He never did.
Drank right on the job.
Now I'd have got probably attacked by the civil rights. And,
yeah. Well, I remember when Jane Wagner was president. I think she used to go in on Monday morning and try to ruin your day, and she did that to me many years. But I think she was so ornery that they got rid of her as president because she couldn't even get along with her own people.
Yeah.
But Weggie was good. you know, I was on the negotiating team a lot of years, and you know, he and then of course Carl was usually the negotiator for them. After we had Louie Imus did it earlier, but that they we'd fight and scream and yell, and then they'd have a sidebar. Well, they played poker together, Wexton and Carl. They'd have a sidebar, and then they'd finally work something out.
I remember one, I'm not sure this would be a very good one to put in any book, but we were having a negotiation session, and it was in Dyersville in the bank up there in the bottom floor. It was pretty hot going, and we had a professor from someplace, name and forgotten, and he was there and at the front. And Lois was there, and I remember that. Wagey was on my side, and this guy was sitting up in front like this at the head table. And all at once, there was a note passed. And then somebody was just laughing, and pass it on, laughing. It finally got to me, and they said, the note says his balls are hanging out.
This was the arbitrator?
And he's opening his balls.
Oh, man.
And you know what? We broke for lunch, and we settled the damn thing an hour later. It got us all laughing.
I never heard that one.
Yeah, Pat Wagey, he'll tell you.
Oh, my.
Those are the fun days.
Yeah.
Well,
what was the most frustrating thing in those early years? Or
not having space.
Yeah.
I think it was the hardest thing. And money. You know, we really didn't have my... Boy, I didn't have much of anything to play with. But you know, I've often thought of that too. You'd say, well, why did... I've had guys tell me, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you build an auditorium? Well, hell, I was looking for classrooms. But we went through the change, and we had to get rid of some of that old parochial stuff. Through it just took time, you know. Remember they said building a gymnasium. Hell, we don't need a gymnasium. Let them run behind the buses, you know. You know. But it was hard to get money. But I still think it's probably still one of the cheaper school districts in the country, in the state,
yeah,
for what we're doing. I don't know exactly now, but when I left, I had $1 million in excess. Maybe I was too conservative. I don't know. But,
well, that state equalization probably helped somewhat too, I suppose. Or
well. The guys now got the 1 cent thing. Plus, they got West Dubuque is getting a lot of growth.
Yeah.
New businesses. New. Look what's happening out of Dyersville. My God, they got whole blocks of people coming in from Australia and everywhere. Craigslist. And every one of those is bringing money.
They got a lot of new companies over there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really.
And then the tax base of all those buildings in Cascade.
And look what's happened at Piasta.
I mean, that's what I meant, Piasta. Yeah.
You know,
those are all paying property tax. Yeah.
I remember one of the last years I was there, it came up one night at a board meeting on building, and I mentioned Piasta, and I got shot down right quick. But I remember I said to Harriet, I said, I want you to make an entry in the minute book that I predicted there's going to be a major growth in Piasta. So somewhere in there it is. I don't know. It didn't do any good.
Well, it's still happening.
Yeah. Piasta is going to be bigger than Dyersville pretty soon.
Yeah. They're just voting on annexing Thunder Ridge to Piasta.
Are they?
To the town?
Well, it's a development right north of Thunder Hills.
Would that be attached to the town, I guess?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in between.
Where is it? Which direction from Thunder Hills?
North.
North.
That's
Thunder Hills isn't in Piast, is it?
No.
No, and then Bird's Acres isn't either, but it'd be, so that'd be the next, huh?
Bird's Acres voted against it about 6 or 7 years ago because the Bird's family owned a bunch of lots at that time and they had control of the boats.
Oh, okay.
But they should be part of Piast.
Yeah.
You know. So that's all going to be a metropolitan area at some point. Yeah.
And the income level of those that area is really high.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with all this information? What's going on?
Well, the only thing I want to do is make sure it's archived at the district office. You know, so it has some background and history. It's there.
Weggie said, knew you probably talked to you too.
He was going to have some. They were going to $50,000 worth of funds. Or something.
Well, yeah, I guess I think he's talked to Jeff, and he talked to board members about putting some money out there to hire somebody to write the history. Which
is that fall through?
No, well, I don't know if it's formally been done.
Yeah.
I think there was discussion about it, and I don't know how. You know, we got a email from. I think Dave probably passed it on from Bob McCabe, you know, was on the board, and Laverne's daughter?
Yeah, I think has some information.
Has all the old letters. She saved all the nasty letters and everything. She said Laverne told her, don't let anybody throw that away. Well, nobody's ever looked at
them
yet.
Up, I think, but yeah, it's there.
You know, I had a drawer in my desk that I put all this stuff over 30 years. And I had a bundle. That day I left it, burned them up. Yeah, I forget them. One thing I wouldn't do is, they wouldn't tell me, they called me and didn't identify, I just hung up. I would never try to talk to somebody that wouldn't tell me who they were. You gotta teach them that.
Yeah.
There wasn't that much of that.
You were good about being open. I remember Friedman would come in,
Leonard Friedman.
You'd give him his time, and I think that old guy from Holy Cross, give him their time, give him a little time. And
you know that old, what was his name?
Bill Leonard.
Huh?
Is it Bill Heiderschitt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Heiderschitt, that's a story in itself, too. He's just griping all the time, you know, and everything. And I don't think he's ever been in a big building before. But he came in there one day, and it was just about noon. I said, I'm going to dinner. And he had his wife with him. I said, I'm going to take you guys to dinner. Come on down. So I paid for it, and they had school lunch. Shit, I made a friend for life. I just met his son on the trip to Washington last week.
Was that right?
And he was telling me that. Yeah. that really was impressed when you met him that day.
Did you go to Washington, D.C.?
I went down that honor flight.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, just great. 2 weeks ago. Oh, 3 weeks ago.
That was super of that, huh?
And had her kill me.
And so his kid was one of them too?
Yeah, Bill Heiderscheid's son was one of them, yeah.
Well, I remember that Heiderscheid. I think I was principal, of course, I had all those elementaries, and then we had a Holy Cross. I'd go to Dyer's on Holy Cross on Friday. And we had an open house or something for that new building. And I remember I was up there, and he came in there, and he kind of turned his nose up at me, and the fact that the school was there, and I wanted to tell him, I didn't, that the Irish were here before you were. My great-grandfather lived right up on the Ridge Road.
Good for you.
And I belong here just as much as you did. I didn't, but I thought about it.
Well, you know, there was a lot of ignorance. Who was the old, never forget that, the custodian up at Holy Cross?
You hear that story? Oh, what was his lake?
Was it a lake?
Yeah.
Probably.
And fire marshal come, and I went up with him, and he was black guy. And he stood there, and he's, do I have to talk to him? I said, wait a minute now. The guy said, don't worry. I had a little bit of him after he left.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, brother. Remember that guy you're talking about? He was really good.
Mm-hmm.
That was the fire marshal.
Yeah.
State fire marshal. Yeah. Yeah, well, we had a few employees along the way that were.
You rednecks.
Yeah. But by and large, like you said, I think the hiring of the people, as a principal, I think all those years, I thought that was probably one of the most important things you did. And I thought I did a pretty good job like you did. I can remember my mistakes.
Basically, we had some darn good, old Buck Carson out at a time, and he looked great, and you were great. And who are some of the other? Well, the lady?
Mrs. Hall? No.
The one that worked at Dyer's Oak?
Bratcher.
Bratcher.
Kay Bratcher.
Kay Bratcher. Who else? Bowles?
Yeah,
Steve Bowles? He's still around.
Well, I got an invitation to the 64 graduate. Oh, they're having a party, or, you know, a reunion this summer. And I had taught all those kids history and phys ed and coached them, and Linda Raldus and Mary Ellen Zelaznik, and but they were, and Bill Mauser, and they were telling me about teachers at the Methodist dinner on Labor Day there, or on Memorial Day, and they mentioned Steve Bowles. I said, well, I didn't remember, he taught C at the high school the year before.
He
was at Epworth High School, I think.
He worked at Cascade, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah,
I don't know. He was an administrator later, wasn't he?
Oh, he was superintendent, yeah.
Over in Illinois?
Yeah.
Illinois.
I saw a name in the paper just not too long ago.
His brother was my classmate.
Okay. In fact, I think he was in our class, wasn't he?
No, that's Peoples. That's his brother. Right. Steve was older.
He was older, okay.
But I didn't know, but I think he must have taught the Buck the year when I was at Piasta. And because I didn't, he wasn't in high school that first year.
Who's that? That's that. He write the letters? Or who was that guy now? That was, Dick Malou.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dick, yeah.
Is that Muddy Boots? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
He's a little on the conservative side.
He wrote me about, he is, isn't he now? Yeah.
He likes to slam around.
You know, one of the nicest things that's happened to me in the last couple of years happened maybe 4 or 5 months ago. We went down on I think it was a Saturday night. We went to Cascade to the club down there with
Club 28 or whatever.
And Mary was with me and everything. And who's the guy? The announcer from the Hawkeyes,
Gary Dolph.
Gary Dolph.
And Dolph was there. And we got talking, Dolph and I, and around a table. And all at once, I bet you 30 old guys and women that were teachers, that were kids, when I was down, remembered me when I went to the one-room school. And we had a home reunion. And Dolph was just, he's a great guy. He makes everything out of it. It was a great feeling, though. They all wanted to say, well, yeah, you wrote my report card back in 1962 or something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of good in the world.
Well, when we started...
We're lucky.
Yeah. When we started out, I remember, like even that first year...
What was your salary that year?
Well, the first year I got... 4,600, I think. No, 4,650. I got 250 for 44 was base and 250 for coaching baseball and basketball. And the next year when we went to new building, I got 4,800, went up 150. Well, I was talking negotiations. Don Shale, we didn't have collective bargaining, but we had the WDEA, and I was the first president. I remember Geraldine was the secretary. Anyway, Don Shield had this idea of an index, which wasn't held up, but it was percentage increase. You know, you had a good scholarship overall. But, we presented that. Of course, the board didn't like the percentage as well. What's that? I presented my budget. And, you know, it was pretty black and white. It wasn't enough money to live on. I had two kids. I had to pay for a car. And we were just renting. And I was working on the railroad 2-3 nights a week there, the second income. And then Buck told me later, you know, he said, yeah, they're pretty impressed with your budget. But then they come back, and Dick Driscoll, due to farmer economic conditions, we'll give you $100 raise.
I can remember that had to be right in that era when Dick Driscoll, he was only on the board 3 years, so that was the early 60s. And Forky was there. And Forky was the speaker for the teachers that 1 year. And when we would go to discuss teacher salaries, we'd take them all out.
Yeah.
They had to leave, and we're going to talk this. So they would go over and sit in the teacher's lounge, and then every once in a while, Forky, not anything yet. So then, I remember one night they offered him a $100 raise across the board. And I thought, oh, geez, you know, but that was it. So Forky came in, $100, Fork, okay. Went back and told him, $100, okay, let's go home.
Forky, go home. The boiler maker.
I forget the day that he was teaching in that back hallway and
burned his.
He always had his pipe.
He burned all of his.
And it started to smolder. Oh, God.
You know what he was? He was a.
He was a religious background.
Down in St. Mary's there.
Well, he came from.
San Antonio, where Phil Smith went to school, I think.
Oh, well, yeah, but he lived up there in northern Iowa. Or,
he was where my sister Rosemary was.
Yeah.
Pocahontas or somewhere out there?
No.
Yeah, but anyway,
German country.
Rosemary, he was actually a custodian out there at that time. Or a custodian, like. I don't know what he.
I still talk to Bob now and then he's got a sister, or a daughter. He's got relatives around here yet.
Yeah, I saw Bob at the Gulfside restaurant a week ago, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a good place to eat?
It is. If you the best we've had is they have a family style breakfast brunch.
Did they? On Sunday?
Yeah,
every Sunday. Edward Goldsberry or where?
Yeah.
Where are you talking about?
Used to be the Nightlight.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good food.
Is it? What's the name of that place?
I think it's Gulfside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Jeff Overbreckling runs it.
Oh, okay.
He went to our school.
Sure. Yeah. That place, they never had a tornado either because they were. If anybody had been hit with one, it would have been that Kramer guy that ran after you or something. Remember him?
Are we off the record now?
Oh, I can put it off the record.